Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Haven't been with you in a while.
Yeah, this is your morning talk line, 10 to 11:30 on Fridays. And this, I'm Diane McGachran. I've been gone for a couple weeks, but I'm back.
And I'm John Active.
John is in today.
I've been around, but only when they need help, then I'll
be we haven't seen Joe, so I'm not sure. He may pop in, who knows, but we're ready to go.
Yeah.
Ready to take your calls and your emails, and you can call us at 543-5985, 543-2756. You can also call 800 from anywhere in the United States.
And you can also email us at radio@kyuk.org.
Yes. And that 800 number is 800-995-8954. Awesome.
Well, spring is here. Thank goodness.
I know. The birds are... I saw two mallard ducks fly over my house yesterday.
Wow.
Male and a female.
I heard there were some flocks flying over, but I haven't seen any. I've been looking around, but I never see any yet.
Yeah. I like that. I like hearing the first geese. It's a good sound.
And swans and cranes. I love the sound of cranes.
Yeah. So we have our sounds of spring are going to start trickling in. We have a caller. Here's another sound of spring, Fritz Charles.
Good. Fritz, I was going to ask you to call. Good morning, Fritz.
Good morning, Fritz. Welcome to Talkline.
The military
Good
support.
Morning, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good. You got an Easter egg hunt pretty soon, I heard.
A what?
Easter egg hunt, right?
Oh, yeah. There's an Easter egg hunt that's going to take place tonight at 5 o'clock. At the new National Guard Armory, not the hangar.
Oh.
And all the veterans, retirees, their children, I forget their age limit, but they are all welcome up there at the armory at 5 o'clock. They'll start at 5, I believe, and there'll be small snacks for the kids and whoever. So stop by if you're a veteran or retiree or active member of the Army National Guard here in Bethel.
Good. And what else you got on?
I got quite a few more things.
Good.
But I don't want to take anybody's time, but... anyways... I got a question. Whenever there's a disturbance or a complaint, who do we call?
About where?
Here in Bethel.
Like a neighbor? What kind of complaint?
Any kind of complaint. Anything. Domestic.
I think the police, right?
Yeah. It's the police.
Yeah.
And... you know, I don't want to sound like a bad person here, but I'm talking about those vehicles that were just dumped up there by Larson at the BIA road.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, those cars, those vehicles?
Yes, those vehicles that were just dumped.
Yeah. Now, there were about 11 of them. Now there's 4 left, but they've been there for a couple weeks. The 4.
Yeah, well, yeah, at least a month, month and a half.
And they're sinking into the mud now.
Yeah, they might be contaminating the ground up there, maybe.
Yeah.
Yep. So, that's who you would call. That's the very first step, because with the license plates and the VIN numbers, they can track down who it belongs to, and they can find that person.
Yeah.
Regardless if they put them there or not.
Yeah.
The owner is responsible for those.
Right. I think. Somebody, just dumped them there, and I don't know what's going to happen.
So, yeah. And the geese are almost here, so they're starting to trickle in. So be safe out there. Don't use your best judgment out there. And if you're going to send out your teenagers, you know, warn them. If something happens, you know, you should do this and you should do that. And so just in case they get into trouble or something, they'll know what to do instead of, you know, panicking out there. And so, all right, guys.
Good.
All right. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, the military, National Guard Military Support Group is having a Easter egg hunt for the children of retirees and veterans tonight back at the new National Guard Armory. Now, these are only for the children of retirees and veterans of the National Guard. And it starts around 5 o'clock. So the kids, National Guard kids, will have fun.
Yeah. Now, do we have another egg hunt on Sunday then? At Pinky's Park?
Yeah, I think so. And then there's a bunch of egg hunts going on. Huh. I forgot. There was one, I saw it on Facebook. Maybe whoever's running them can call in and tell us.
Yeah. Okay, good. So we have Sarah. Good morning, Sarah. Welcome to Talkline.
Hi, I just want to let everybody know that we're having a madness sale at Swanson's store today. Everything's 10% off at the main store and the hardware store. Do your Easter shop in there.
Okay. Swanson's are having a manager sale. 10% off everything.
You know, we're getting our Charissa checks now, too, in the mail. They beat direct deposit. The mail. So they must have,
weird.
I know.
Different.
Well, that's all right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So the Charissa checks are here. Yeah, I got mine this morning.
Yeah. So let me give you those numbers again, everyone. You can call in anonymously, or you could call in with your full name. Oh, before I do that, we'll go ahead and hear from Clarence. Clarence, you're on Talkline. Good morning.
Good morning, Clarence.
Good morning. I just wanted to bring up, being silent is the same thing as accepting something. Not doing anything is the same thing as saying it's okay to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of tired of seeing cab drivers and food delivery drivers stopping in the middle of the road, impeding traffic, even though it's the flow of traffic, and the flow of traffic shouldn't stop. When the traffic is going, you can't just stop to somebody pulling out and yield to them because you have a line of traffic behind you that's going to run into you.
So this is happening in the community? Like they're dropping off food and they stop and run to drop off the food?
Or
the cab driver?
You know, whatever it be. I don't know what it is because I'm not the person doing it, but I'm seeing it happen, and it's having an adverse effect. And, you know, for us to allow it to happen is like saying it's okay. Mm-hmm. And are those the rules of the road now? So just something to think about.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you, Clarence.
Thanks, bye.
Hey,
bye.
Good morning. Okay. Yeah, you know, the other day, is that, whatever it was they had about four wheelers on the streets, is that still being enforced?
That's right. I don't know.
Because I see young kids.
They're out again.
On four wheelers, especially back at the housing area. Yesterday, last night, I saw three young kids, and the driver was, she must have been in her early teens, 13 or 14, and two other kids riding on the bike back of the four-wheeler. Dangerous, scary.
They were going fast, too, probably.
Oh, yeah, they were going fast.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if they're allowed on the side of the road anymore. But I see them, but I don't know if it's being enforced or if that was just a one-time big enforcement push and then it died down
maybe.
Last year.
Yeah, well, wintertime, those four-wheelers go everywhere anyway, so
yeah,
they got to go on the roads if there's too much snow.
Now, the river's not okay for traveling on, right?
Well, I guess you could drive along a snow go or four-wheeler, but trucks, I wouldn't go on the river with the truck. Because it's warming up and the river is filling up with all the water, the sides where the ice meets the land, you know, it's deep, those things, when they fill up with water.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Okay, we're going to hear from Ruby. Welcome to the show, Ruby. You're on Talk Line.
Good morning. This is Ruby with Calista.
Hi, Ruby.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'd like to invite those that have not already enrolled with Calista to come into our office. We're at 313 Willow, and original documents are required. We mainly need birth certificates and ID if there's a name change. Or you can apply online at www.enroll@calistacorp.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some teams going out to Pilot Station and EEC next week for those in those villages that need assistance. And we also have door prizes, prizes for those that apply before May 1. There's $25 $100 prizes. And those that apply before June 2, there's five $1,000 prizes.
Wow.
So, yeah, we encourage you all to apply.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay.
And that address she gave is also known as Watson's Corner.
Yes.
Yeah, that area where the church office is.
Yes, it's right behind the legislative office.
Yeah, LIO office.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you.
Good.
Have a good weekend.
All right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Happy Easter, by the way.
Okay. Yes. And we have Renee. Good morning, Renee. Welcome to Talk Line.
Good morning, Diane. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Renee.
Yay.
So I have some good things to talk about.
Cool.
First coming up on April 21st, that's 1 week from today, we're going to have the Bethel Bowls, and to date we have 181 gorgeous bowls that folks can come by. I know a lot of folks made bowls and want to purchase them, so they should be there by 5:45 on next Friday to claim the bowls that they made.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, everything goes on sale at 6 p.m.
Wow.
You come buy your bowl, and you can get soup or chili, and we're going to have some cornbread and brownies, and you get to take the bowl home with you, and all the revenue that is made off of this goes straight to our new ambulance, Medic 6, to help with additional equipment that they'd like to have in the ambulance, and those of us who, if we ever have to use it, want them to have the stuff, right?
Yep.
So we're looking for donations of soup, of chili, of cornbread, of brownies or cupcakes. If you can make any of those things and donate it, please bring them to the Cultural Center by 5:30 next Friday, April 21st. And then following that is a Saturday market on 22nd, the day after. So, you know, open for members at 8:30, 9 o'clock for all the vendors, and 10 to 2 for the public. And there's always, it's a good place to meet friends, visit, see what's new. It's a good place to do that.
It's kind of a social thing. I like to go there, just wander around and talk to people.
Mm-hmm. You get to see people you don't get to see every day, and it's a nice, relaxing environment. So come on down, rain or shine.
And the Saturday Market Cafe, very delicious.
Yeah.
Homemade food.
Yeah.
I like their soup.
Yes, some nice soups, nice sandwiches. Yeah, very good.
Well,
pies.
And then I was also going to mention that evening they're going to have the Bethel Live. If you're into karaoke or if you like to tell stories, you want to do entertain people, they have a whole evening planned following up on that. So make sure that you follow. Come on down. Get a hold of Grady. He's at 543-4548 if you want more information, or stop by the Cultural Center. We'll fill you in. Now, the last thing I'm going to mention is we've finally got our schedule together for this summer youth camps.
Oh.
And starting May 29th, there will be a volleyball camp for kids 8 to 14. And then the same week, there will be a three-day special creative clay camp. Now, that is not clay like I make, ceramic clay. Mm-hmm. It is a special air-dried colored clay that you can make into sculptural shapes or flowers or whatever. It's really pretty. Zee Hastie's going to be teaching that, and she's a master at it. So that's open for 9 to 14-year-olds. She has a very limited class size, so you better sign up for that.
Mm-hmm. Now, this 4-H camps, do they go all summer?
This is not 4-H. This is the cultural center camps.
Oh, I see.
Different.
4-H has separate camps, and I haven't seen their schedule yet, but I know that they're planning a good one.
Mm-hmm. But does yours at the cultural center go on all summer?
No.
Oh,
we end in June, so we have two art camps, June 5th to the 9th, and we'll take 30 kids ages 6 to 12, and then we have another art camp the week of the 12th through the 16th, and again, we'll take 30 kids for that one. The week of June 12th, we also are having, in the afternoons, a creative writing camp.
Mm-hmm.
So if your kids like to write or tell stories, this is an excellent camp for them to express themselves creatively that way.
Mm-hmm.
The last week of June 19th through the 23rd, we're going to have a native arts camp. We're going to have Marie Alfred teaching how to make story knives.
Oh. Nice.
And Agnes McIntyre is going to do Gus Bucks.
Uh-huh.
So that's 9 to 14-year-olds. It is also limited in size because we don't have that many sewing machines.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So limited. If you want to register for that, you need to call Laura Ellsworth at 543-4515 or stop by the college. And Laura is in charge of registering everybody. You go through her. If you want more information about the camps, what they're going to be doing, for example, you can call me at 543-4538. I know that the dance camps are also getting set up. I don't have their dates yet, but Pam Conrad will be contacting me with those dates, and we'll get the word out to all the parents. So that's all I've got.
Let me throw in an idea or a suggestion for your camps there from the Cultural Center. Teach the young kids, how to split fish. Because the fish are coming. They should be here by the end of the camp there at the Cultural Center. The Cultural Center is a place to learn about our culture and our traditions. And so they should be. You should throw in teaching the kids how to split fish, and they can give them out to the elders. They're always hungry for fish.
Well, that's an excellent idea. I'll have to see if I can get fish donated and then set up some.
Yeah, well, those U.S. Fish and Wildlife guys or Fish and Game guys, you know,
right.
They have their test nets
yeah.
out, and they catch fish. I bet you. They would give you guys some.
Yep, that's a really good idea, John. I'll follow up on that and see what we can do.
Mm-hmm. Good.
All right. Well, thank you so much, and have a good day, and happy Easter to everybody.
Yeah, you too, Guyana.
Thank you. All right. Good morning, Susan. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. You guys were pondering about the Easter egg hunt. Yeah, the Lions Club Easter egg hunt is
Saturday.
Tomorrow at noon. At the ME Playground for ages 1 to 12, 4-H groups, 4 regions to get the eggs and toys and prizes and chance to win a bike. And if anyone want to volunteer to help set up, we're going to run this stuff up there from the clubhouse and be there about 10, hopefully not running late, but you can meet us there at 10 to help us set it up.
Well, that's right. If they go early... Maybe somebody from your group can be dressed up as an Easter bunny, then they'll know where to go exactly.
Yeah.
Wave them on. Wave them in.
All right.
All right. Thank you,
Good,
Susan.
Thanks.
Okay.
So,
bye.
Okay. So it's Saturday, not Sunday. I said Sunday, but Saturday. Okay. I have a Chilista enrollment public service announcement I'm going to read.
Okay.
Excuse me. The Chilista enrollment office is open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. to accept applications for enrollment. You can apply online using our computers or submit a paper application. Please bring your documentation that will be needed for verification. The Chilista office is located at 313 Willow Street behind the Legislative Information Office. That's over by Watson's Corner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Please call. Here's the number you can call for more information. 543-5420. The deadline for the next cash drawing for $50 is May 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's part of that.
Well, that's a good incentive for getting it. Young people enrolled in Chilista.
Yeah, so do they? Is it that people don't automatically enroll their children? They just, and then as people grow up, they just need to be reminded to get enrolled.
Well, right now they're trying to get the parents to enroll their children that aren't enrolled yet.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're going to be traveling to some villages, I guess. I think maybe on the Yukon, did they say?
Yeah, actually, here's one. Okay. The Chilista enrollment team will be in Pilot Station from April 17th through April 21st. So they'll be there a few days at the Pilot Station City Office. Bring your documentation that'll be needed for the verification when you come to enroll. You can call 543-5420. You can also call the Anchorage Chilista office at 800-277-5516. Oh, and they'll also be in the village of Eek from April 20th to April 21st at the Eek Bingo Hall to accept your application. You need to bring your documentation with you when you go to enroll. You can call the same numbers if you have any questions, 543-5420. All right. So we're going to hear from Ray Bourne. Good morning, Ray. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Good. How are you?
Hey, Diane, I want to talk about Emperor Geese a little bit.
Yes.
Things are kind of, you know, season is open, so things are going great. But we need some help from the hunters to ensure a healthy Emperor Goose population and some future hunting opportunities. We like to ask the hunters to only target the juvenile birds instead of adults when possible. When you start gathering the adult Emperor Geese, that has the biggest impact on the population. So we need that help there.
How do people know an adolescent and a young adult? I mean, that's flying overhead. How do they tell?
So that's a good question because, you know, I personally don't know. I guess they have different plumages. My understanding is that the adults have a brighter plumage and the juveniles tend to be a little duller, generally speaking.
Okay. John's a little skeptical. How are we going to tell those teenagers?
If I see a goose flying or a bunch of geese flying over from, like, looking toward the sun, I can't really tell if they're darker plumage or, you know.
Yeah.
From a distance, geese. They all look light
they
plumaged.
They all look the same. I think they all taste the same, too, I think.
Okay, John.
Well, we haven't
we're trying
those.
To say We're
you
trying
know,
to
we
help a species
those
here.
In a long time. So they must be quite tasty.
Steady. So, anyway, okay, Ray, sorry.
All of your expert hunters out there can tell geese by the way they fly, right?
Of course. Yes.
Excuse me for a living. Some of us Eskimos don't believe in killing animals anyway, and I'm one of them.
But oh.
I accept,
but you'll eat them.
I'll eat them, yeah. When somebody gives me one.
Okay.
I can't hunt. I don't know how to shoot.
Okay. Well,
the other thing we'd ask you is just to target a single bird, not a large group of birds.
Okay.
That way, you know, it lets some of the family continue to go on. And then when egging, if they only gather an egg or two and leave the rest, what a science is telling us is that the birds will come back and hatch. If there's only, you know, a few eggs left in this, they'll still come back and hatch them, and that way that'll give us a better chance of getting the population bigger so there's more geese available in the future.
You know, I always thought that if you took all the eggs that they'd continue to lay eggs and replenish their nest.
Well, you know, the science tells us that if you take all the eggs, they will abandon the nest and not come back.
Hmm.
So we're asking people to maybe think about that a little bit, and we can continue to talk about that. But the science is telling us that if you only take a few of the eggs, they will come back and they'll finish, you know, hatching those goslings, and then we'll have more geese in the future, which we all want, that's for sure.
Now, I know when people go out to get just a little aside here, when they go out to get mouse food, you're not supposed to take all of the mouse food. You're supposed to leave some for the mouse, right?
Right. And
so I'm looking at John. John's looking at me kind of funny here. But that's what I understand. So maybe the same philosophy could apply to
the geese.
The geese and their eggs. And not to take all of the eggs, but leave some.
Leave some, yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing is and a lot of people do this, but gather only what you need. You know, again, the emperor goose is growing, but, you know, we just kind of got to be careful for a few more years to make sure the population is, we can keep gathering the emperor goose in the future. So that's kind of the key message we like to get out to everybody if possible. And we're reaching out to a lot of the villages. Our refuge information technician teams are going to villages and talking to them directly. But last week they mentioned we need to get on the radio and pass the message as well. So that's the message for today. Any questions for us?
Well, I had a question. I know that recently, and I don't know who actually did the sign. It might have been, I don't know, BIA. I don't remember. But anyway, signing to allow lead shot. Now, that happened in the U.S. government to allow hunters now to use lead shot, even though there had been for many years campaigns to not use lead shot because of the impact on the animals and if you eat lead, all that. How do you see that?
That's true. The steel shot only limitation on federal lands was lifted.
Yes.
The new administration. We still have concerns for health, you know, for our children and for the wildlife as well, because lead is a poison, and it in birds. It'll or anything else, it accumulates over time, and then when people eat it, they pick up that lead, and it just doesn't go away. It stays in there. So long term, we have a lot of concerns for the health of the children and health of our families, that we would really encourage people to use steel shot.
Yeah, okay. So keep using steel shot. If you've made the adjustment from lead to steel, stay with steel.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. And Ken Stonelicker is here with me also. He's the new refuge manager. Any quick questions for him?
Oh, with the refuge manager?
Where is he from?
He just recently got hired?
Well, kind of, sort of. I'll let him talk about that.
Yeah, I've been here. I got here late last summer.
Okay.
Came up most recently from Colorado, but I've been here over the winter. And one thing I wanted to mention, I wanted to switch gears if we still got some time.
Yeah, go ahead.
And
just make sure that everybody was aware that we're going to go to fish now, to salmon for just a second, about the public hearing that's scheduled for next Tuesday at the Cultural Center. It's getting that time of year. Everybody's starting to think about salmon and what this season's going to look like. And there have been a couple of special action requests that have been filed. And so we're actually going to hold a public hearing from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Cultural Center to take people's testimony on how they feel about the question as to whether there should be federal limitations on the fishery again this year, limiting it to federally qualified users. And then that meeting is going to be followed by just an open public meeting from 8 to 9 where folks can ask questions about, you know, we can discuss what the season may look like and so forth.
Oh, that's so good to know. And where will that be held?
It'll be at the Cultural Center here in Bethel.
Okay.
So people pro or con can come to the village and air their views. I know when they have subsistence fishermen only who are recognized by the federal government to fish, then some non-natives are not very happy about that. So they should go to the meeting too and express their opinions about that.
And there is a call-in number as well. If folks are interested and have difficulty actually getting here, they will be able to call in.
Good.
Okay, and how do they get that number?
Well, I could pass it to you.
You can give it to me.
There has been, it's probably on our website.
Yeah, this is Ray. Yeah, we faxed a news release or emailed a news release to everybody.
Oh, that'll be available then.
So you should have that. Mm-hmm. If not, we can definitely email that again.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you very much. And we will, yeah. Okay.
I was just wondering when the fishing starts and we're allowed to fish for certain hours, you know, the people that are in charge of the regulations, I'm especially talking about the place where people can start fishing downriver and how far upriver. There should be some kind of a big mark or something down there, down on the, at the mouth of the Kuskokwim, saying this is where you can start fishing upwards.
Thanks, Joe. This is Ray again. Yeah, that's our intent. We put some markers last year down by Tuntutuliak, and this year we're going to try and do a better job of that and identify, you know, where mm-hmm. the open areas are for people to be able to fish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is John and not Joe.
Oh, I'm sorry, John.
Yeah, good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, anything else?
Nothing else from our side.
Cool, good.
Okay, well, thank you for calling
in. Well, I hope
we
have a big crowd during your hearing.
Yeah, hopefully so.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, we got a call from Rhonda.
Rhonda. Good
Sergeant.
Morning, Robin. Welcome to Talk Line.
Good morning. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
I have two things for my 3 minutes. With 4-H, the first one is next Friday, the 21st. Mm-hmm. There's a no school day. And for any teen that's 14 years and older, we're having a job workshop. So what are you doing this summer? Come learn how to look for a job. We're going to have presentations on looking for a job, professionalism, and interviewing. And we're going to do some mock interviews.
Cool.
And all the stuff that you'll need to know about getting a work permit, what kind of IDs you need to have, and everything. Mm-hmm. That'll be the 21st Friday from noon to 4 at the Teen Center.
Mm-hmm.
And they can call the 4-H building at 543-2088 to register. And we're doing this project with Roxanne from the high school and AVCP job development.
Mm-hmm.
And then this Saturday, for anyone interested in helping with 4-H activities, volunteering, planning what 4-H wants to do in Bethel, we're having a leaders council meeting this Saturday, the 15th at 4 p.m. at the building.
Mm.
So if anyone's interested, please come. We're trying to put together this council so we can help advise the staff and figure out what we want to do to make Bethel better.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, let me throw in a suggestion. I'm just all full of suggestions.
Bring it.
This morning.
Okay.
You know, the teen center is located back here in City Sub next to the cemetery. And, you know, some of those really old graves back there, the people, their descendants, some of them are gone, moved away. My suggestion is if the 4-H's or teens that go there to the teen center have nothing to do, I mean, they should go out and clean up the graveyard, the old graveyard especially, cut the grass. You want to have a fire because there's a lot of grass up there.
Right. That's a fantastic idea. I will put that in for a note for our summer program when we do our community week.
Mm-hmm.
That's
good.
All right. Nice, easy, close one. So we'll put that in there. I appreciate the suggestion.
Cool.
And any more like that, please bring them on Saturday because that's the kind of stuff that we need. And people that are willing to work either with other adults, volunteers, or directly with the kids. But you don't have to work directly with the kids. You just have to have a passion for Bethel and raising kids well.
So do you have newcomers from outside, young people working with you back there at the teen center now?
Newcomers, like newcomers to Bethel?
You know, like students, college students from outside or something?
No.
Oh,
we have all local people working for me right now.
That's
We do have open an VISTA, a mm-hmm. Summer Associate VISTA position. So if somebody's looking to volunteer for a stipend and an education award, we have that position open. Right now it's posted on the VISTA website, and that's for a 10-week gardening VISTA to help the youth during the summer to learn about gardening and healthy living and work with our summer program.
Mm-hmm. Good.
So all kinds of stuff is happening. If anybody has questions, please call us or come by. 543-2088.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Rhonda.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Good morning.
Okay. It looks like we have an anonymous male. Anonymous, would you like to join us?
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Nat Forrest Goom. Good morning, everyone, to one and all.
Good morning.
How's your eyes?
Well, I can see.
Good.
Oh, yeah, I'd like to express an apology for not alerting friends and family about my departure and my return there. I was told there's a great many welfare checks there. My thanks to Mike Riley, Leslie Waska, Peter Liska Jr., and others. My bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad your eyes got improved vision.
Well, by the way, there are bunny rabbits that are hopping about. They're vying for the position to hide Easter eggs.
Oh, yeah.
They're out and about.
They're everywhere.
Okay. Well, my thanks to everyone there for the concerns, and my apology for not making everyone aware.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, thank you all for the birds flying and birds singing, and everyone continue to smile and be aware and pass it on.
Good.
All right. Thank you, anonymous male, who's not Forrest Gump.
Wrong.
So you didn't do a lot of hunting growing up yourself?
I didn't know I needed glasses, and I really didn't take up hunting when I was growing up.
No?
No. Mm. Well, I couldn't see what the heck I was shooting at anyway.
Uh-oh. I never learned any hunting myself, of course. But I'm going to give out the numbers here. They're at 543-5985, 543-2756. And you can email us at radio@kyuk.org, and we'll read your email over the air. Mm-hmm. All right. Good morning, Bob. Welcome to Talkline.
Yeah, good morning. I'm not sure that I heard exactly what I thought I heard, so perhaps you can let me know. You just had a couple of people on from Fish and Wildlife, is that correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
And did they say that the lead shot ban was rescinded on wildlife refuges?
Lifted on federal hunting grounds, yeah.
By our government, yeah, by the new administration.
Yeah, that's not true.
Oh.
And they ought to know that.
Well, what is the, because I watched the thing on TV. What was, maybe I misunderstood it too. What was it that was, lead shot is allowed now. Where it wasn't, so...
What is?
Lead shot.
No, it's not.
Okay, what is it?
Steel shot or lead shot was banned starting in the late 80s.
Right.
And it was implemented gradually across the country. Alaska was the last state to have it implemented. And that was in probably the mid-90s. So it's been 20 years. And it was banned for waterfowl and shorebirds. And that was universal. And that's in effect. Some years ago, maybe, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, there was a lead shot ban in this refuge, Unit 18. That was particular to this refuge. And as far as I know, that's still in effect. Now, that lead shot ban was for everything, not just waterfowl or shorebirds. And it was, for instance, it was in effect for t- ptarmigan, rabbits, and all of those species. As far as I know, that's still in effect. But the waterfowl and shorebird ban is universal. It's across the country. That's still in effect. So saying that it's no longer in effect is pretty reckless, in my opinion, because now you're saying to people, oh, go out and use your lead shot. And if people go out and do that, and then they get ticketed, I guess they can thank the Fish and Wildlife Service.
Well, no, I mean, my understanding is that Ryan Zink.
Yeah. Okay. That was something else.
What was that? Explain, yeah. So then maybe that's the because it says that he revoked a ban on lead ammunition on federal land. He revoked that ban, which was put in by the
ban. Okay. The ban, that particular ban, was one that was instituted in the last day of the Obama administration, and that covered all U.S. Fish and Wildlife refuges.
Right. Right.
All right, for everything. Mm-hmm. For instance, right now, you can hunt with lead shot in Unit 8, which is Kodiak Island, for anything that is suitable for lead shot, except for waterfowl and shorebirds. So you can hunt ptarmigan down there, or foxes, for instance, if you wanted to, rabbits. All right. The Obama ban would have banned lead shot for any species on any refuge at any time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was revoked by Congress. That has no effect on the ban of lead shot on waterfowl and shorebirds, period. So it's bad information.
Okay, well,
I welcome Fish and Wild to get back on the phone and tell us about it. Because if I'm wrong, I want to know. I'll dig up my lead shot and go hunting birds. But that's not, I'm telling you right now, that's not going to happen.
I don't think that they're even selling lead shot anymore in the stores.
Oh, sure there are.
They are?
Of course you can.
Even
if
they were banned?
There's all kinds of lead shot available.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But to say that it's no longer in effect for waterfowl and shorebirds is pretty reckless, in my opinion. They ought to know better.
I'm the one that brought it up, and they were confirming probably the rescinding of that Obama administration order. Whether they were going in, I thought that it was across the board on federal lands, which includes.
It was
here.
Across the board on federal lands.
Okay.
And a lot of people, including me, thought it was, again, this federal overreach business. I don't subscribe to all of that, but in this case, I had no notice of it. I didn't even know about it until, it was the Congress removed it. Mm. So I think you can make, I suppose you can make a case for it. Certainly is the case for banning lead shot for waterfowl and shorebirds because they pick up lead in their gizzards and they get poisoned by it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, that argument was settled years and years ago. The argument for banning lead on uplands, I think, is far weaker. And I think one of the people on Fish and Wildlife sent mentioned poisoning children, and I don't know where he got that. Kids are poisoned by lead in drinking water, and that comes primarily from drinking water systems. It comes from lead in pipes. It comes from lead in solder. It comes from lead in appliances, which is the drinking water term for faucets and those sorts of things. That's where lead comes from. Lead is fairly inert in the environment. Once it gets into the soil, it doesn't go very far. It doesn't leach very much. If you have an acid environment, it will leach to some extent. But it's much more inert than people think. And certainly it's a problem in drinking water. I've never heard of children being poisoned by it simply because it's in the environment somehow. So I think the people are kind of fast and loose with some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I hope Fish and Wildlife gets on and clarifies this because I think what they said was incorrect or what they implied was incorrect. And I hate to see people go out and and start shooting waterfowl with, or really anything in this unit 18 with lead shot, and then get ticketed for it because someone said it was okay.
Okay, and I guess it would be easy for some, because I'm reading the headlines. I just Googled it, and there's all these headlines about lead shot okayed for federal lands, but nobody, but even in the news reporting, they're not delineating it like you are. They're reporting on it as if it were general.
Right.
And so it's easy to understand how people might get that confused.
Absolutely,
because
the
headlines of these leading publications are putting it as if it's all happening.
Yeah, no, I agree. There's a lot of bad reporting on this. That's why I'm saying the people who should know, who are the people at Fish and Wildlife,
okay,
they ought to be getting the word out and distinguishing what that retraction means in mm-hmm. terms of this area.
Right.
Because, in fact, unless I'm wrong, and I'd welcome being corrected, in Unit 18 federal lands, you cannot use lead shot on anything unless it's buckshot or something very large, and that gets into a bit of technicality. But basically, mm-hmm. you can't use lead shot to hunt anything in Unit 18 on federal lands. That does not apply across the state, and it doesn't apply across the country.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. The only thing that applies across the country is waterfowl and shorebirds. And they need to make that clear.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, if they're listening, they should call in.
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
Bye-bye.
Good morning.
Yep. Well, you know, even in the use of lead, they estimate that like 3,000 tons of lead shot get fired every year. 3,000 tons. And that that doesn't all end up in the target. Mm-hmm. So those, year after year, that lead is being disseminated mm-hmm. on land, into waters, getting into the food chain.
Right.
And that's what happened to the California condors. They were eating some of the dead animals that had been shot by lead, and they were ingesting the lead, and it was impacting their ability to lay eggs. And yeah.
Well,
so it's definitely a problem, but he makes a good point. Maybe there's some difference here with what was just rescinded that I didn't understand. Mm. But the headlines make it seem like it's going to be a free-for-all.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
But I hope not. Okay.
Well, the numbers are 543-5985, 543-2756, 1-800-995-8954. If you want to call in, I do believe we have a call.
All right. So we have an anonymous caller. Welcome to Talk
yes.
Line.
If you catch too much pike, it's okay to ask around if anybody wants pike instead of throwing them on the side of the sea. Well, that's so disgusting. Oh. Whoever did that, I feel really bad. Somebody throw a bunch of pike on the side of the seawall at Slough, and that is really disrespect. If you were going to, instead of throwing them away, you could have put it on Facebook and advertise if anybody wants pike. That is so disrespect, whoever did that. That's all I want to say.
Thank you. Yeah. People should always...
Darn.
Well, report where they are, and maybe someone will go pick them up.
Yeah, but wow.
And throwing them away, that's no good.
Yeah, it seems like there's more stories about that. You know, like the moose and the mm-hmm. and her offspring, or baby that was killed up by old BIA and just left, and the muskox.
Right back here.
Just
right, yeah.
shot at and then left.
And he shot the other one in the eye, and he was stumbling around. Poor thing.
Aye. Yeah. And so it's, these are changing times, and it's really important to keep talking about the values that mm-hmm. have protected people and the land and the animals for thousands of years.
Yeah.
The really good, strong, important values. So thank you, caller, for that. I have a couple of announcements here to read. Let's see. Okay, so we know about the Lions Easter Egg Hunt. We know the Bethel 4-H Council will be having its next meeting tomorrow, 4 p.m. at the 4-H building. And this is an open meeting to anyone interested in working with the 4-H, with 4-H ages 14 and up. So there's that. And there'll be the Easter Revival at the United Pentecostal Church, 451 Ridgecrest, tonight, April 14th at 7 p.m. and Sunday, 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Evangelist. I don't know how to pronounce that word. Fernando Lamas. Lamas. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll be speaking. Everyone is welcome. So that's tonight at 7, Sunday at 11 and 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So, Sophie, welcome to Talkline. Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to say happy Friday to everybody and happy early Easter for up and down the river and the Yukon and all the people that are celebrating the Easter, especially to Jerry and Betty Simeon of Antioch. Happy Easter. Thank you. Bye.
Oh, good. Thank you, that's Sophie. Nice, Sophie. Okay.
Yeah, you know, this year is one of those years where the Russian Orthodox Easter and Western Easter.
Fall together?
Together, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of feasting in
this
the villages,
weekend.
Man.
Oh, my. Yeah. Yeah.
Lot of feasting.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Well, I brought in some Easter candy and got them out there on the table. And
I saw your nice little basket.
Everybody is saying, oh, man, you're trying to kill us. Said, it's all right. Enough for me.
Mm-hmm. All that sugar.
Yeah, yeah.
All coming at us.
Yeah, yeah.
And did you buy your Kuskokwim Ice Classic? Did you buy some tickets? Because
no,
this
not
is
yet.
The last
today's
week.
The last. I thought it
today's
was
the last day,
today,
right? Is it
I
today?
Thought today was the last day.
Oh, yeah. All guesses must be received by April 17th at 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. And did you know there's local sales available in Antioch, Kalskag, Nebraska, and Hooper Bay?
Mm-hmm.
So you can buy locally. But tonight, 7 o'clock, that's it. That's the deadline.
Yeah.
And you can purchase them or turn in your guesses at AC and Swanson's.
I think one ticket is $5 and $5 are $20.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I've got my guesses.
Mm. Oh, you do?
Yeah, I've already sent them in.
I've got to do mine scientifically and...
Right, okay. A lot of analysis there. I've got mine, a lot of mine are earlier in May.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but we'll see.
You might be right, never know.
Yeah.
Thor.
All right, Thor. Good morning, Thor. Welcome to Talkline.
Thank you. Good morning, Bethel. Giving a little bit of a shout out to our community. We talk about activities for our kids and having activities for our kids. Our Bethel Freestyle Wrestling Club is going to be around probably this weekend, and I have started knocking on people's doors looking for pledges for our push-up-a-thon to help our wrestlers go to state. We're needing this money to, you know, have hotel rooms and rent vans to take the kids up and down from Anchorage to Wasilla and help buy their food. We're probably the only club in the state that has an opportunity for kids to go to the state wrestling tournament at the end of April. It's coming up really soon that the club helps pay for all those costs for the kids, except for their travel into Anchorage where their parents have to buy them tickets.
Okay.
So, we're
so are you going to be one of the push-up-a-thon participants?
I should. Maybe
yeah.
I'll get some really good money for that.
Hey.
Yeah, I need
really,
to really work
so?
Out. I hope.
Can you do more than 10 push-ups?
I think I can do 11.
10 and a half.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Good push-ups.
Okay, so that's good. All right, a push-up-a-thon, that's fun.
So we're looking for people to pledge, and they can pledge for each push-up, or they can pledge just the set amount to the wrestlers that are going to be around. So
very good.
We thank the community for helping and supporting our wrestlers here in our community.
All right. Good luck.
Yes. Thank you. Have a good weekend, everyone.
Thank you.
You too.
You too. All right. We have Ruth. Good morning, Ruth. Welcome to Talk Line.
Hi.
Hi.
There's if you value your car or truck, don't go on the river anymore. It's dangerous. Or your life, value your life. Somebody's truck went in upriver.
Recently?
Just yesterday.
Oh, no.
Huh. The front part, my husband told me that one of his reliable friends told him, and they pulled him out all right, but it could be worse.
Yeah, really.
So trucks are heavy, and they're like, some parts are like needles on the river. It'll be good to travel with lighter vehicles or not like four-wheelers and snow machines now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Good advice. If a truck fell in front first, and it got pulled out, then, that's a signal. Stay off the river with the trucks.
And cars.
And cars. People will continue.
Every break up and freeze up, somebody has to make that last trip, and then this happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So better not to go on river like that. Okay. I have some messages here for individuals. So Stephen Amick, please call 545-1321. ASAP.
Mm-hmm.
1321, Stephen Amick.
Mm-hmm.
For those... Oh, okay. Okay, that was it. Oh, Nelson Alexi, please call Susan at Ayalpik Apartments, 543-2326.
Mm-hmm.
And just remember, the Ice Classic ends tonight at 7 o'clock.
The 17th.
Oh, 17th. That's... When is that?
We can't read the on the screen.
Yeah, it ends on April 17th. Why did I think that was
tonight? At 7 p.m.
It's not tonight then, right?
I guess not.
I was wrong. What is the date today?
Today is the 14th.
Monday then.
Yeah, Monday.
Okay, everyone. I'm sorry. I made a mistake.
Yeah, there
the
are
Ice Classic,
signs. Yeah.
Yeah, it ends. Mm. It ends on Monday night at 7 o'clock. Mm-hmm. You can... and put in your final guesses at Swanson's customer service.
Mm-hmm.
And at the AC, they usually have a table by Alaska USA Bank.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we have Susan. Good morning, Susan. Welcome to Talk Line.
Good morning. I've been trying to call the Tundra Drums message line to remove that message for Nelson Alexi to call me because it's been... on there for almost a week.
Oh, yes. Really? Okay, so sorry about that.
So could you ask them to please take it off?
Okay, yeah. Or he's just going to keep calling you.
Thank you,
Sue.
Good morning, happy Easter.
Good morning.
Okay, thank you. All right, Nelson, do not call Susan anymore.
Uh-huh.
It's over.
And
okay.
The Tundra Drums, I guess it says it's been updated according to what's on the computer.
Right. I think maybe these
so they probably took that off, the old announcement off.
Okay. So I will not... okay. Hey, now, here's something that's kind of fun, too, is the Bethel Regional High School Drama Club, drama group, presents All's Well in Roswell by Michael Drews.
I like that.
It's a comedy
about
a miner,
his
family, and some UFOs.
This will be aliens too.
And some aliens, yes. This will be in the BRHS band room, tonight at 7 o'clock, and Saturday, they're going to have a matinee at 2, and then at 7 o'clock Saturday night, there's a small admission fee. Everyone should turn out for that.
Drama clubs are fun. I was in a drama club, and I was in a bunch of plays.
I'll bet you were.
Our stage was at the old National Guard Armory over here where Kilbuck School was in.
Yeah.
We had a good crowd, and, of course, we didn't have a lot of costumes. We had to beg around, and I was, who was it? I think Howard Samuelson, he's gone now.
Uh-huh.
But Howard Samuelson played the part of a villain.
Uh-huh.
And he had makeup on. He was a villain. And I played the part of a policeman. And so I had to beg around. And I got a state trooper cap they loaned me.
Oh, did you?
And I had to be very careful with it. But
yeah.
We had costumes, and it was fun.
That's neat.
Oh, boy. I was
in a couple of high school plays myself, actually. Yeah, it was really neat.
Yeah, it's fun.
We have an email that, is it Petra is going to read to us or Julia? Oh, but disregard the email message. Okay, so we had an email, but now we don't have an email.
Mm-hmm.
It was to confirm the Ice Classic deadline that I said was today, but it's actually Monday. Monday at 7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. So you got time to make your guesses, and who knows, you might win big bucks.
Yeah.
What is the prize anyway now?
12,000, I think.
Oh, look.
And who was it? Oh, I can't remember the group that's benefiting. I forgot which group.
BCS?
I don't know. No, it's a specific entity in town. Well, maybe somebody will write in and tell us who it is. But I think there was a group that's splitting it.
Yeah.
That'll be the benefit. Now, out on the river, the
tripod.
Mm-hmm. Now, to me, it looks like a compass.
Yeah, it does look like
a compass. But it's not. What is it?
It looks like... No, it looks like not a compass. It looks like the old sundials. Remember?
It look like a sundial.
We used to use those all the time before you guys came around.
Are you from the sundial era?
Oh, yeah.
John?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Sundials are fascinating
because they are.
If you set them up, you can actually watch the rotation of the earth by the shadow cast by the sundial. Mm-hmm. That's amazing when you think about it. So,
Shady? Oh, Shady.
I think it's Shady. Maybe he's a little bit shady, but I think it's Shady. And he's calling in about the YK Fitness Center.
Good.
I think.
Hi, Shady.
Hi, how you guys doing today?
Good.
Okay, just giving my weekly announcement. Again, this is Shady Robbie from the YK Fitness Center.
Yes.
Giving some promotional information out. Like every weekend, this weekend is half price weekend, thanks to the YK Lifesavers organization. This includes tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. So if you're looking for something to do, as always, come on over for a cheap and affordable and healthy substitute for something to do in the community. We did start programming a new class, and it's an elders swim class. And this is Thursdays from 7 to 8 p.m., and registration is going to be open for the fall or for the next week. So if any elders out there are interested in learning how to swim or just getting in the water to do some rehabilitation or therapy, this is a great opportunity. That's Thursdays from 7 to 8 p.m., and that's specifically designed for our elders in the community.
Maybe I should sign up and teach you guys, let you guys learn how to save lives, because I sink like a rock.
Oh, well, you'd be the test model. You'd be the test dummy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
This Sunday is Easter, and we're programming a special event, and we're going to have restricted hours because of it. So this Sunday, we're going to be open from 2 p.m. till 9 p.m., and we're going to have a special Easter egg hunt from 5 to 8:30 p.m.
Will the eggs be underwater? Dive in?
Some eggs are going to be underwater. Some eggs are going to be on top of water.
Wrong.
It's just going to be an egg hunt in the water and in the facility.
Cool.
So it's really exciting.
Now we'll have to be careful because still there's no running in the pool.
No running in the pool, but you can swim aggressively if you're in the water.
Swim as hard as you can.
As hard as you can to get to those eggs, and kiddos will do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, boy. Since I think I probably can get a bunch of them if they're under the water.
Uh-huh. We'll get you a life jacket, and then you can just float. Right.
Oh, John. John, you should go. Go bob around at the Elder Swim.
You know, I need to get into their hot tub. My poor aching.
Yep, that the hot tub would be very therapeutic for that.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much all I got, guys.
Okay, yeah. All right, thank you.
Corona Shady.
Now, that's really cool, having Elder Swim classes.
Mm-hmm. Kathy.
The Masters, it's called the Masters Swimmers when you're older swimmer.
Oh, really?
You're a master swimmer. Mm-hmm. Kathy Hansen. Good morning, Kathy. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You guys are driving me a little crazy this morning with your ice classic information.
You know what?
All over the map.
Okay, bring it. What's true?
Right. So the true part is what you did correct. Ticket sales continue until Monday at 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. And there will be people selling tickets at BNC Lobby this afternoon, AC, Swanson's into the evening, probably much of the day Saturday at AC and Swanson's. And then I think it's limited to just at the fitness center on Easter Sunday during their Easter egg hunt there. And then Monday, of course, all day. Tickets have to be turned in by 7 p.m. at any of the drop boxes on Monday. After that, it's too late.
Okay.
So, the other part, BCS Foundation is the mothership of the Ice Classic.
But yes.
BCSF only covers their expenses. And actually, doesn't even do that. Someday they will.
Okay.
But the funds that are made from the ticket sales go to youth-serving organizations in the Delta. We have a group in Neposkiac for the second year. This is our third year in Aniak. We have a group in Towskag, and we have sales at a high school group in Hooper Bay. Mm. Plus, in Bethel, the purchases and donations go to the Waikiki Delta Lifesavers.
Mm-hmm.
And we provide the half-price weekend swimming for children, support kids in being able to afford swimming lessons and sometimes swim suits and, you know, the things that they need to learn how to be comfortable and safe in the water.
Mm-hmm.
It also benefits the Delta Illusion Dance Company.
Oh, yeah.
They're selling tickets. Mm-hmm. And the Teens Acting Against Violence from TWC.
Good.
So you'll see any people, volunteers from any of those organizations selling tickets or coming to your house.
Oh, my gosh.
And the other thing that we have that we started last year and it was a great success was, well, it was hard for us, but it was great for the customers, is tickets by telephone. So I'm going to give you the phone number that people can call in just a second. It's 543-8483. And that phone is manned during the business hours. I would assume it'll be open on Saturday, but I'm not 100% sure. And so people can call in and give their credit or debit card number there and make those last-minute guesses that you know you want to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
as the weather gets warmer, tomorrow it's supposed to be 55.
What?
55?
Yeah. Crazy, huh?
Cool.
Oh, my gosh.
And so some of you who've already turned in your tickets are probably thinking, gee, I think I might have made a mistake. I should probably go buy some more tickets.
Mm. Oh, yes.
And
can we?
We encourage you.
Yes.
Good.
And this year we have the biggest prize we've had in since the beginning, $12,500.
Oh.
Somebody's going to win that money. And I always say to people who say, oh, I don't know, I never win. I say, well, somebody wins every year.
Yeah.
And they're probably not any smarter than you.
Well, so, let's say two people put in the same time, same minute, second, would they split the pot?
Yes.
Oh, uh-huh. Cool. Okay.
And last year was the first time we had a split pot, and everybody seemed pretty darn happy to take their checks home.
Oh, yeah.
So, and the one change we made in the rules this year was to allow to determine the winner by who has the closest guess, mm-hmm. even if the time has already passed their guess. Mm-hmm. For an example, if the river breaks up at 5 p.m. Mm-hmm. and I have 4:58 and you have 5:02, mm-hmm. we would be tied.
Cool.
So you and I would split. Okay. And in the old way, that we used to do it, whoever had that 4:58 would lose. Mm. So we kind of broadened it a bit, and we're looking forward to it. It gives us, you know, more opportunities and
And gives the guessers equity.
Yes. So you can buy your tickets with cash, check, or credit or debit card at any of the places, and we look forward to having a great breakup. Of course, there will be the breakup bash.
Oh yeah.
If it breaks up before noon, by noon that evening at 5 o'clock will be the breakup bash. If it breaks up afternoon, the breakup bash will be the next evening.
Mm-hmm. You know, people have been talking about this year the ice being extra thick and extra snow up in the mountains. You got to have a backup location just in case that front street goes underwater and we run down for the breakup bash in Gumboots.
Well, you know, the water did come up over the bank that one year, and it was all around the band with their electrical cords and everything, and people kind of just started tiptoeing away.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We have lots of plans. We have plan A, B, C, D, E, and F.
Mm-hmm.
We're covered. And the tripod is designed to, I believe it was a story knife. Mm-hmm. So the part that goes up is a story knife,
yeah.
And then the bottom is a kayak.
Huh.
Oh.
And if you don't remember, 3 years ago we asked the ANSEP students to design us a new tripod, something, it could be a tripod or anything, and these two young people came up with that, and not just a drawing, but a scale model, small scale model. It was beautiful. And we just said, wow, that is great. And then Eric Whitney, a local carpenter, has, you know, turned it into the huge thing that it is that so far has
It's really
the storm,
cool.
So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So do they collect, does it get made every year, or is it retrieved every year?
We have a buoy on it.
And one year
we actually Eric retrieved it.
Uh-huh.
It washed up across the river. Hmm. And he went over by kayak and pulled it up on the bank and secured it and then went back later and got it. So cool.
But oh, my God, there's a story to that thing. That is so interesting.
That's the only time it's happened.
Yeah.
We've thought about asking Tom Ratledge to go pick it off the ice with his helicopter, and then we realized that we spend all of our prize money paying
right.
for that. So.
Do we have, Kathy, do we have a lot of statewide participation, people calling in to make the guesses for the Cusco breakup?
Not too much. We've kind of branched out that way and tried to, but it wasn't very successful.
Oh.
You know, we're going up against an Inanna that everybody is so familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
So they're selling them at the Chulista office building in Anchorage, and there are some individuals selling them in Anchorage, but pretty low-key, actually.
Yeah.
We decided we wanted to keep our efforts locally where we already care.
Mm-hmm.
We're already interested, and very pleased to see the villages turning out with their youth groups to sell some tickets.
Mm-hmm.
So they sell tickets in there, and their youth group makes money for, you know, whatever their goals are. Usually it's a goal mm-hmm. around traveling. So.
Yeah, well, it was news to me to hear that the design of the tripod, or not tripod, the...
Well, we still call it a tripod. But.
Yeah, but I didn't know it was a yahooing and a kayak underneath.
Oh, yeah.
Now you can, yeah. If you go look at them, now you can
now
see it.
Now I see what it is. Otherwise, uh-huh. I thought it was a sundial.
Well, it kind of I can see why you would think that.
I mm-hmm. thought it was a compass, mm-hmm. a geometric geometry.
Yeah, you thought it was a compass.
Okay, but now we've got the true deal. Now yeah. when you go yes. down and see it,
so,
you'll
so
see
those young people's original design, they actually had little whirligigs attached to it also that would, in their mind, they could set it up because these are engineering students, right?
Yeah. Mm.
So the whirligigs were going to generate the electricity to light a blinking light on the top.
Cool. Oh, are you kidding? Wow, that should have happened.
Yeah.
There's enough wind on that river
I
to do that.
I don't remember why we didn't. I think we just couldn't quite get there.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it would be.
Yeah,
almost like my idea I had once, but I'm not going to mention it.
Oh, well, what?
Well, you just did.
Yeah.
Oh, well, years ago, you know, we had problems with the sewage lagoon overflowing all the time, and that was when George Holman was the mayor. And I suggested that they put in some pumps, real high-powered pumps, and put them under the water and make a
geyser
out of it and put all kinds of beautiful colored lights underneath too, and it looked pretty and it helped her evaporate the sewage lagoon. But he said no.
That is very fanciful, John.
I don't know if I care for that image.
But
right,
really
right.
Pretty with all the colored lights.
Just pretty colors.
Yeah.
Well, I'll let you all go.
All right.
Thank you,
Kathy, for all the clarification. Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye.
Yeah. Boy, did I get mm-hmm. that? Did I get that wrong?
Well, okay. I got the Ice Classic thing wrong.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we like to be corrected, so
yeah,
always
absolutely.
Feel free to call in and make those corrections
mm-hmm.
to our general commentary here. So we have about. We have a few minutes more time if you'd like to call in.
Oh, yeah.
You can at 543-5985, 543-2756. You can also use the 800 number, 800-995-8954. And you can email us at radio@kyuk.org.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, people should call in, especially from the... religious church organizations here, and tell us when and where they're having their services. It is Easter time.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so maybe somebody will call and fill in the last 9 minutes, 8 minutes we have.
Now, I always look forward to a little cleanups, spring cleanup.
Oh, yeah.
Cleanup, green up. Because
I have a story about that.
Oh, tell.
Oh, it's just funny. It was spring cleanup time here in Bethel years ago. And it had started to flood. The ice was moving, mm-hmm. and it had started to flood. And people were everywhere cleaning up. And, of course, KYUK provided the music for everybody that was cleaning up. And back at Alligator Acres, everybody was out there in that neighborhood
uh-huh.
cleaning up. They had their radios outside, boom boxes, full blast,
uh-huh.
listening to KYUK. Well, one of our intrepid employees here at KYUK, I won't mention his last name. His first name is Dean. Anyway,
no last names allowed.
No last names allowed. Anyway, everybody's out cleaning up. It was a beautiful day, clear skies, warm, and everybody's listening to KYUK, the music, and cleaning up. And suddenly... we went off the air, dead air on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it was Martha Scott called and, hey, you guys are off the air. Well, Dean was the only one here at the time. So he ran out of his back office over to the AM room. And those were the days when we had these cassettes, big old grain cassettes with recorded music on them.
Uh-huh.
He just reached up there and grabbed one and stuck it in the machine and turned it on. Went on the air. And the name of the song was Joy to the World.
Oh, he started playing Christmas songs?
Well, he didn't know it. He just stuck it in. On came Joy to the World.
Nice.
Clean up, green up.
Nice.
Everybody had fun. Mm.
You know, the thing is, with the now every time, as the day goes on, you just discover what got left in your yard.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh,
it's some parts of Bethel, it's not a pretty sight when the melt happens. But
well, you know, in Anchorage, they got the poop patrol, and that's where the dogs go out in the yard and leave their poop on the snow.
Oh, you can hire somebody to come. And
they do that in Anchorage now.
You know, I take a certain pride. I pick up every one of mine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want any of that. Mm-hmm. And I do that when I'm out on the tundra, too, which, here's a plug for that. People, get plastic doggy bags that biodegrade and pick up your dog's mess. I do, but I pick up other dogs' messes, too, because it would be unbelievable if nobody picked up out where people are walking their dogs. And there's somebody who's got a dog that leaves stuff that's like the size of a pony. I get it, but anyway, so it's a nice time to start cleaning up. And when you drive in from the airport on the right side there, as you're going by Blueberry Sub, all these plastic ghosts.
Yeah,
unreal how many plastic bags. And it would be great if people just brought their own bag to shop and not use plastic anymore, because it's plastic bags can last like 1,000 years.
Yeah, I bet.
Sure. So when you bring home that, you know, that bunch of bananas that you bought at AC in a plastic bag.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 1,000 years right there.
Jesse.
Jesse, welcome to Talkline. Good morning.
Good morning. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you guys spoke up about something about dog poops, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of talking about used dogs around here across the sea.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them.
Oh,
and
yeah,
but some of them, they just come over, you know, to mark their spots. They do their business and leave, and we're the ones that have to take care of that.
That's,
you know?
Right. I'm sorry you have to do that.
And all these dogs seem to belong to someone because they got collars, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So
yep.
You know, summer is coming, and our grandkids and children will be playing out, and.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Those dogs, when they're hot too, you know, they don't care, you know.
No, and then
they're not well taken care of, and they need water. And
yeah.
Poor.
So I thought the city had so much money they were talking about the other day. They should hire a dog catcher or something.
Oh, they need a dog catcher here badly, yes. And
very badly.
Yep. Yep. Well, they must be getting a lot of money from alcohol sales tax.
Exactly.
Like, it's
That's
been a boom.
That's why you need to know.
It's intense. So.
Somebody from the city should let us know, and whatever money they got, they're talking about, we got our little future kids that play out here, and us grandmas, our parents are terrified, you know, they might be bitten.
Mm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, sorry. That's true.
So.
Yeah.
And you constantly have to look out if they're out there, you know.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, there's so many dogs here and there.
Right.
And that's my favorite topic for on Friday.
Good.
Well, it's an important topic still in our town, because there are pockets of dogs. There's like a lot of loose dogs out by Larson, Blueberry, City Sub. Yeah. Yeah, so we got to keep on it.
Yeah. Okay, Kuyana, you all have a very good, happy Easter, and God bless you all.
You
all right.
Too.
Thank you, Jesse.
Kuyana. Bye-bye.
Yeah. I want to throw in a pitch for the Bethel Police Department.
Mm-hmm.
I have a story.
Mm.
Well, you know I'm a storyteller.
Yeah.
The other day I went to the store, and I bought a bunch of groceries, and they ended up being pretty heavy bags.
Uh-huh.
Well, while I was going through the checkout, I felt the presence behind me, and I turned around, and there's this policeman standing behind me.
What were you
me.
Doing?
Well, he was going to buy something.
Okay.
But I saw him, and then I had an idea. I said, hey, I know this guy, this policeman. So I turned to him, and I said, will you please arrest me and take me to KYUK? The bags are heavy, and I don't have enough money for a cab fare. He said, you want a ride? I said, sure. So I grabbed my bags, went out the door, and I followed him, and we went over to the patrol car. He put the bags in the front. Thank God I didn't have to sit in the back. That's where they arrest people and sit in the back.
Oh, you got a front seat.
Oh, yeah, I got a front seat.
Oh, you. But, okay. Yeah.
Anyway, everybody was looking and said, ooh, poor old John's getting arrested. I wonder for what, shoplifting? But the police is bringing out, but the police is bringing out the bags.
Yeah.
So I got a ride from the police department. The second time it happened. First time was years ago when I was going home. Heavy bags. Oh. They stopped and gave me a ride home. Well, we're almost out of time.
Oh, we got one call. We got an anonymous caller. You have just a few more minutes. Go ahead, anonymous, and you have to turn down your radio.
Turn down whose radio? Your radio or mine?
Yours.
I don't have one.
You don't have one.
Oh, well, go ahead.
This is your other host calling you to wish you happy Easter before you
Joe!
Hang up.
Joe!
Yeah.
You didn't let us. Oh, my gosh. I didn't even know whether you were coming or not.
I already told what's her name I was going to be there.
Oh, well, you got to let us all know. Anyway, how are you?
I'm doing good. I just want to call and wish everybody happy Easter. And I did get a chance to listen to part of the show, but not to the whole show. But it's interesting topics today. But
okay.
I had to call and get my 2 cents worth in there.
Okay, good. Good to hear from you.
All right.
Thank you. All right.
Well, he's someplace where there's music going on because KYK Radio is not playing music right now.
Right, so I thought
it's
that.
You and I, yeah.
And whenever anyone calls in to the radio station, if your radio is turned on, it causes
feedback.
Yeah, feedback, echo. And there's a delay on the line, so it ends up. So it's, but most people are pretty good about that. They turn off
their
radio.
Well, we're out of time, but look, we have.
Oh, somebody. Steven, you probably have about 60 seconds. Go ahead.
Yeah,
welcome.
I just wanted to call and thank whoever picked up that vehicle right above Nikonik's. Thanks to that person, and it's off the river. So.
Oh, wow. Yes.
God will bless you in many ways.
Good.
Thanks.
Thank you for mentioning that.
Thank
good.
You, Steven.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a concern, that vehicle falling through the ice contaminated the water.
Yeah, yeah. We have enough barges that did that.
Oh, man, and they're going to be more eventually in the future when they start bringing up that equipment to the...
Oh, when the Donlin Gold, Donlin. The barge. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a whole other topic and show.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone. Have a good Easter weekend, if that's what you do, and have a wonderful day.
Mm-hmm.